Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland and Willie Dunick here with you, our man Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, how in the world, as we talked earlier in the show, did the Avalanche not close out that series last night against the Blues? That was an unbelievable finish. Final 5-6 minutes of the third period and finish in overtime for St. Louis to come back and win that game. Gutsy, gutsy performance.
Can't blame McKinnon. Can't blame McKinnon.
No.
He tried everything he could do to end it. Spectacular performance. And in a just world, that would have been the game-winning goal. But we know this is not a just world. You know, I give credit to the Blues. They in Game 4, I thought they came unglued. They were trying to get revenge on Kadri. They threw the game away. It was completely their own lack of composure that cost them the game. And in this one, with every excuse to give up and say it's been a good season, they didn't do that. Down 3-0. And you know, I think the thing is they kept the puck deep in the Colorado zone, and they made great plays to keep it there. I mean, Falk had an unbelievable keep in at the blue line on the tying goal. Colorado had chances to clear, to get it out, and they just didn't do it. And the other one was Landeskog had a chance to shoot for the empty net. And it's an age-old debate. Like, when I was a kid, my coaches told me never ice it. And I think that's changed in today's NHL. I think the shooters are so good and they're so talented that you take the chance. He decided not to take the chance, and Falk got back to knock the puck off him. And Anthony Stewart made a really good point last night. He said O'Reilly was killing them in the face-off circle. So they probably didn't want to give O'Reilly a chance in the offensive zone, but I kind of look at it like, if I have a guy like Gabriel Landeskog, who's an awesome player, I say shoot your shot. And I just think that St. Louis made all the calm, cool, collected plays down the stretch, and now Colorado's got to spend another 48 hours answering questions about why they can't win in the second round.
Oh, yes, ooh, they do. Berube did speak last night on the Kadri situation after the no comment earlier in the series, and I get it. Kadri is the one that injured Bennington, but is it too little too late for Craig Berube to speak last night, or did you think it was the right move? What were your thoughts on it?
You know, like, it's like, I don't know if it changes anybody's opinion, you know, to be honest. I kind of look at it like, you know, Craig Berube, as he said, is a person because of his indigenous nature. He knows what prejudice and racism can be like, right? And I would, you know, personally, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I do. I think that what the lesson is that I know that there are some people in the playoffs, and to be honest, I'm kind of like this myself. Like, I shut down otherworldly things. Like, I have a sister who I owe, like, a little bit of money to, not a lot, but she's on my case, like, pay me. And I'm like, it's the playoffs. Sometime you'll get your money. It's not like, I don't want anyone to think I'm a welcher. Like, that's the key thing that everybody in Nashville has to know. I'm not a welcher. But sometimes in the playoffs, I do close out the world a little bit because I'm trying to focus on my work. And, you know, I do think that happens to people, but I also do think it's incumbent on everybody to say, hey, you know what, this one's a little bigger, and we have to be prepared for this. Like, Travis Green, when he was coaching in Vancouver, like, he would, you know, he had an interesting saying. Like, the PR people would go to him and they would say, Travis, here are the questions we think you're going to get today. And Green would say, not only would he say, okay, I appreciate the questions, but he'd say, what are the answers? Is there any team messaging that you want me to give? And sometimes I think that you have to be proactive, and you have to be able to say, you know, hey, this is going to come up, and this is what the answer should be. I could see Craig Berube saying, look, I'm not paying attention to any of this stuff, but I also think the organization has to be proactive and say, you're going to get this, and here's what you should be ready for.
Elliot, after game one in the, you know, 17-14 final between Edmonton and Calgary or something like that, a lot of goals, 9-6, I believe, was the actual final. How in the world is Edmonton up 3-1 in this series? And if Calgary loses in round two, what is going to be the reaction?
Well, it's not going to be happy. You know, that's for sure. This was a great regular season for Calgary. I mean, you guys saw them up close in some great games they played against the Predators this year. That's a really good team that had really high hopes. And they won a really tough first-round series that I thought would be good for them. The biggest difference in this series is that their goalie, Markstrom, just hasn't been very good. You know, Calgary won that first game, and they were up 2-0 in the first 5 minutes of game two, and it looked like we were headed to another blowout. And, you know, Markstrom just couldn't hold it, and Smith, and I give Smith a lot of credit. Like, anybody who's 40 years old in a sport and still a number one in anything, you're exceptional. Like, I think it's just exceptional to be a pro athlete, period. But if you're 40 years old and still excelling at it, that's even more exceptional. And I'm watching Smith, and he's such a battler. Like, he's so competitive. Like he strikes me as one of those guys. Like, he not only does he try to beat the opponents and everything, he tries to beat his kids and everything, too. Like, it just looks like he's one of those people that's wired that way. And he's fought to hold his fort, and they've got the best player in the world, and he's completely taken over the series. And for a while he was doing it himself, and now his teammates have come along and really joined him. And I think Edmonton's best players have been better than Calgary's best players. I think Calgary's goalie has suddenly become leaky, and I also think, you know, Calgary's best defenseman has been hurt. He really came back to give it a great effort in game four. But you can tell there's something really wrong with his, I think it's his right arm or right shoulder. And, you know, without him, their pairings have gotten mixed up, and it's really affected him. It would be like you guys losing. I wouldn't want to compare him to Josi because he's not the same kind of player, but I would say more similar to like an Ekholm and what it would do to all your defensive pairs.
Wow, interesting. So, Elliot, we know Calgary heavily invested in this year's team. They went out and got Cale Yarncroke, 3 draft picks to get him, a big investment in Tyler Toffoli, who was not a rental, but they still traded a lot to get him. They've got the Gaudreau situation, Matthew Tkachuk's a restricted free agent. They got a lot of issues if they don't get the return on the investment of getting through this series, I would think.
They do, and... You know, the one thing they've done a good job of this year, guys, is they haven't talked about it. There's been a real information vacuum about that kind of thing, and it's actually served them really well. I mean, the moment it ends, it becomes a big question. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of interest in Gaudreau. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in Tkachuk pending, you know, what the Flames want to do there. He's got one more year till he's non-restricted free agent. But obviously they tried to punt that as long as they could. Like sometimes guys in a series, I think when it's 3-1, it looks over to me. Like I was wrong again, but I really thought that Colorado series was over. I thought Colorado was going to win that last night, and they should have. But I don't sense the Edmonton-Calgary one is over. I mean, it all depends on Markstrom getting back to his self. But I thought actually Calgary played pretty well in game four. And that if they're going down tonight, I think they're going down with a fight. So I don't think this one is over yet, but they have some big decisions to make. And, you know, both Gaudreau and Tkachuk had phenomenal years. So that pushes their ticket up, and there will be competition for them.
You mentioned Tkachuk is a restricted free agent. There's Kevin Fiala, Brock Besser. There's a couple others, too. Even Jesse Puljujarvi is an intriguing player. Do you think that offer sheets could get into the mix during this offseason, maybe more so than in the past?
Well, I think there's some teams that are really vulnerable to them. I do. I think the biggest question becomes, like, which of the teams that have space are willing to spend? Like, you guys are interesting because Poyle said last week, you know, I didn't think that last year was a cap year, but I do think next year is. But, you know, David Poyle is a guy who's been a victim of an offer sheet. I don't know if I see him trying one. You know, put it this way. I think the biggest thing that comes into an offer sheet is not only do you have to do it to take advantage of somebody else, you have to be careful of, are we vulnerable to one somewhere down the road too? And I think that that becomes the biggest hurdle to it, is that teams don't only look at rating others, they look at how they're going to be rated. And that's the other thing that they fear too.
Good one. What about a top four defenseman? I know there's a lot of discussion here about getting some help in the top six. That's an obvious one. But top four defenseman, not necessarily a scoring defenseman, but Elliot, somebody who maybe could play alongside of Roman Josi, bump down a Dante Fabro or something like that to maybe strengthen the group. We made the example. Jan Ruda is a no-name guy, but he plays with Victor Hedman. He just seems to, and it works for some reason. It doesn't have to be a star. But what's the market like for a guy like that?
Well, I think there's always market for D. Like to be honest, guys, I think this offseason is going to be crazy. I really do. Like teams have told me the amount of good players that are going to be available, not only in terms of free agents, but for trade, they say it's going to be bananas. Like, I do think this is going to be a summer. I mean, the best players are the best players. Those players are hard to get, but all of a sudden we've got, you know, Goodrow out there, and you've got Giroux out there, and depending on what happens with you guys, you've got Forsberg out there. So there's good players out there. But, I mean, even, you know, guys like Jan Ruda, there's going to be lots of guys like that out there. And I think if you're looking for that kind of a player, I think there's going to be options out there like him. I really do. I think that, you know, a lot of teams are tight to the cap. A lot of teams want to change their mix. And there's always good bargain hunting out there, always. If you're patient, you can find those kinds of players. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, and you guys have to remember this, Nashville is seen as a good place to play. You know, like if you're a single guy, it's a good place to play. If you're more family oriented, it's a good place to play. It's a no tax state. You know, it's got a good reputation as a place to live and play. So I think that is something that's in your favor too.
Okay, leave us with this. I love the podcast discussion you and Jeff had the other day about if, and they've got a long way to go, but they're in the Final Four, Tampa Bay. If they were to win a third straight, it would be the first team to do it in the salary cap era. And you were actually comparing it to a great dynasty. I grew up in New York. I remember as a kid, the Islanders, when they won four straight and got to the finals the fifth year. Yeah. That was unbelievable. That's sort of the underrated part of it. But in my mind, you guys were debating, you know, how do you do it, compare the eras, which is always difficult. But to me, three in a row in the salary cap era would have to be the equivalent of four in a row in the pre-salary cap era.
I would think so. I mean, the other thing, too, is, as you kind of alluded to there, the Islanders won 19 straight playoff series. Like I don't think we're ever going to see that again. It's really incredible. If you think about it, like, the record for most Stanley Cups in a row is five, and that's the Montreal Canadiens from 1956 to 60. And you know how many series they won in that time? 10. There were only, you know, six teams back then. So, and I'm not saying it was easy, but it wasn't like what the Islanders had to go through. The Lightning have won 10 in a row, and that's the record in the cap era. The Penguins won nine from 2016 to 2018 before they were eliminated. Like, the Lightning have won 10 in a row. And in this era of salary cap, as you said, COVID, the speed of the game, the way players hit each other in the playoffs and the pure competitive nature of the playoffs, I think it's incredible. The biggest difference, like, you know, the players are faster now. The players are more skilled now. They're still tough. But, you know, with people who weren't around to see, the Islanders won their four cups from 1980 to 1983. The hockey during those days, like, you see highlights of the stuff that happened on the ice – and you wouldn't believe it. Like I've shown, yeah. I remember showing like my younger nephews some of those things, and they're like, people really played like this. Like they didn't just fight; they stuck. They did stick swinging. They were out. They were out there to really hurt each other, and really crazy and nasty stuff happened on the ice. So, but I would agree with you. If the Lightning get three in a row, I think it's just an incredible feat in the salary cap era. I really do.
Elliot, enjoy the spectacle. It has been so much fun to watch this. You know, everybody's still disappointed here that they're not still in the game here, but it has been such great theater to watch. And I know in Alberta, it's going to be awesome again tonight. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, The 32 Thoughts. Must listen to podcasts. Excellent in print as well. So check it out if you want to stay up on things. Darren, you've got a word about Cool Springs MD. No, he doesn't. All right. So we'll come back and continue with the show. False start, Donick. We're back after this.
Good stuff from Elliot Friedman, as always, every Thursday at 1 o'clock. You agree? Very, very active offseason in the National Hockey League. That did grab my attention.
Well, I put a lot of stock in what he says. I have always thought that there would just come a time where all of the teams that have just been up against the cap for a long time but find a way to make it work have to pay the price at some point. It doesn't ever seem like we've had a summer where it hits a bunch of teams like, "Oh my gosh, they had to get rid of this guy or that guy." Like, I don't think it's happened as much as I thought it would happen when they put, because it's a hard salary cap. You can't wiggle out of it as easily like you can in the NFL. And so I just wonder, with the cap staying fairly flat, it's an increase of $1 million, that will there be some teams that just have some decisions that are excruciating for them and they have to do things they don't want to do? That's what I wonder. But there's a lot of things, you know, those restricted free agents, that's an interesting one. The unrestricted free agents are a mixed bag, as we were talking about, the history of the Predators and their unrestricted free agents. I think it falls in line with most teams. You generally don't hit the jackpot if you're every year you're relying on a bunch of unrestricted free agents. It's more, you got to be smart about it, right? You don't want to overpay. And sometimes when you win the press conference in July with a big signing, you pay the price.
No question. Let's go to Nate on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Afternoon, Darren and Billy. Y'all doing all right?
Hey, Nate.
Good.
So I got a question, and I know that this is probably a very sensitive subject with the two guys that are involved. But with Perron's antics towards Kadri, I think it was on Monday night, first the cross-check to the back and then basically jumping on his back. And then after Kadri scores and Perron throwing an elbow at Kadri's head, which is very clear, why is the Department of Player Safety only giving a $5,000 fine? It shouldn't matter that contact was made or not. The intent was there.
You mean the flying elbow after he scored the goal?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. It's a good question. Is it a little bit of no harm, no foul? I always feel like in the NHL, I think that's always been a prevailing thing, is if it's a... when you say, wow, that was close, it seems like that it makes it okay. And, Nate, you're bringing up a fair point. I mean, it looked like he easily could have caught him. If he hits him with that elbow, and he's done for the series. And probably on into next year.
And is it because it's the playoffs and not the regular season?
See,
do
I don't
think it would have been
I don't
a
know.
Different outcome?
I don't know. I don't think that – I think a near miss is not – I don't see a precedent of –
I think Nate's on to something.
Okay.
Some of this stuff. Let's talk about some of the antics we've seen thus far. Should we throw Max Domi in there?
What specifically?
Well, I mean, what started the whole Rangers? I mean, honestly, that play has probably changed the fortunes and things around for the Rangers, right?
Yes, and I don't know if it was antics by Domi. He was, you're talking about when he sort of lost his balance and he gets hit hard by Trouba? Is that the play you're talking about?
What started the play when he was the one who started the whole mess, right? I mean, yes, the Rangers eventually, you know, that 5-on-3 could have changed those. But, I mean, Max Domi's the one that stirred that pot. You see these plays in the playoffs, and I think where Nate is going is when you think of Perron, when you think of Domi, there's not much action by the league, right? Like these fines are silly. It's like telling us you owe us a dollar. Don't do that again, right? Cromwell Media says we're fining you a dollar. Don't do that again. It's like what?
Yeah.
You know, like come on. It's basically they're saying we're not really going to change. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Well, that's right,
we don't want to affect a series by taking someone out of the series.
The stakes are higher. A one-game suspension in the playoffs is a huge penalty.
Huge penalty.
So do you think there's a little bit of no harm, no foul mentality?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So is that a good thing, though?
I don't know.
Is that acceptable?
Well, it's a fair debate. I think it's debatable. What the saying in hockey has always been, walk the line, don't go over the line. And that even goes with the actual player safety department. I can remember an incident between Shea Weber and I think it was Henrik Zetterberg in the 2012 series, the series that the Predators beat the Red Wings. Remember in game two, I think it was game two. If it wasn't, it was game one. But there was an incident at the end of the game. The Predators were winning, and Shea Weber, he went Incredible Hulk, and he smashed Zetterberg into the boards. He kind of looked like he maybe grabbed his helmet, grabbed his head, and hit it hard into the boards. And the Red Wings were calling for a suspension, and he got fined. But I think the line that, if I remember correctly, was the Brendan Shanahan at the time was the guy heading it up, and he said, walk the line, this is your warning, but don't go over the line. And it was close. But that was huge. Can you imagine if Shea Weber was suspended for Game 3 in that series?
I think it's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? It's exactly what we're talking about. I think here's the thing. You don't think the players don't know that? What's a real deterrent for guys that know how to, let's say, flirt around that line all the time?
Exactly. Right?
Those guys we're talking about, they know what's going on. They know about the line in the regular season. They know about the line in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, you don't think the players don't know that it's going to take a real – I mean, it's going to take a real egregious act for them to sit me down. So unless I just don't go crazy and I turn into a lumberjack with my stick, they're not going to sit me out.
But there's also the tier of player, right? There's some players on the lower part of a lineup that are trying to make their mark. They want to walk the line without crossing it, but I think they have the mentality is, if I cross it and I get suspended, I'm replaceable. But I, for me to make a positive impact, I've got to push the envelope. You know what I'm saying? Like, a star player is going to get more benefit of the doubt, but he's also going to say, look, I can't get myself suspended. But a guy like, let's just throw out a name, Milan Lucic, when he hits the goalie, if he gets suspended for a game, is anybody even, oh my gosh, I don't think we can win without Milan.
Well,
not at this stage of his career.
He's at the end of his career.
Right. He's not the 30-goal scorer that he used to be. And there's history is full of guys like that who are willing to push the envelope and say, you know what, if the worst happens, suspend him. Now, Perron is interesting because he's always been a guy that stirs it up. He's a guy that you hate playing against. You hate him. He's a villain. He was on those Duck teams that the Predators played in the playoffs. He's been on the Blues a lot. He's had a tremendous playoffs. But he threw that elbow. He just, fortunately enough for him, didn't hit the guy. But that would be a big loss for St. Louis. And I can see from an outside perspective saying, look, whether you hit the guy or not, you can't throw an elbow like that. You almost took him out.
Well, if you remember Tkachuk in game one in the Edmonton series, him and Kane, what Tkachuk was trying to do to basically set the tone for that series, unfortunately, I think he poked the bear is what he did. I mean, look at what Evander Kane has done. I mean, Evander Kane, not only is, I mean, he's had a great playoffs, period, but I mean, I understand what he was trying to do, and that's what Tkachuk does, but I'm not sure it's worked. I don't think it's worked for Calgary. I think it's done just the opposite. It woke up Edmonton,
yeah,
and the whole series changed from that game one. I don't think Tkachuk
It is truly an art.
Talking the entire
game. Tkachuk never stops talking.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about in the box.
Oh, yeah.
Outside the box. I mean, on the benches.
That's his game.
He did not stop talking the entire game.
And that is his M.O. That's what he does all the time. And he usually comes out ahead. But standing up to that, counteracting that, is part of the art.
All right, we'll come back. Continue the discussion. We're going to get back into, we didn't finish on a couple of the questions, like really finish up talking about them. Adam Vingan from The Athletic, the poll that he put out there. We'll do that. The fan survey on the other side. Also, I've got another 29 years ago today. You know, I did that with you and Derek yesterday. I've got another one.
I think I know what it is.
Oh, is it baseball? Do you know?
It is baseball, and I already sent it to Elijah. Let's play that when we come back from the break. That would be entertaining. Okay. And then we'll get into the Predators. The last question on the survey that we didn't get to has to do with off ice. It has to do with the game presentation. So that's what I want. I'd love to hear some feedback from the fans on that.
Okay. I was kind of hoping you wouldn't have seen. I wanted to hear what kind of guesses you would have because, as you can imagine, it's one of my favorites. 29 years ago today. But right now I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Yes, you've heard me talk about them for a long time because I've been going there for a long time and they've been helping me for a long time, which is why I'm passionate about talking about them. They've helped me become healthier and happier. Who doesn't want that? I know I do. I'm glad that Cool Springs MD has improved my quality of life, and they can do the same for you. They've been doing it for a long time in this market, and I know they've already helped a lot of you because you've told me. And if you're somebody that would love to shed some unwanted pounds, especially this time of year with the pools opening up, yes, this rain I think is going to clear out after today, and we should have a really, really fantastic weekend. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. It's important to them. Weight loss management, rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and their experienced staff can discuss PRP, hair removal, Botox, and hormone therapy. Have you been feeling off lately? Have you not felt yourself? Have you had, like, mood swings or no drive, no energy, and you're, like, trying to figure out what's going on? Well, get your levels checked. They tend to dip as you get older, and if they dip, it can affect you in one or all of these areas. They can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. These are just some of the things they do under one roof there in Cool Springs at that state-of-the-art facility. And they're at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. That's raw reaction right there.
It hit him in the head.
And it went over the fence. All right, we got it. We got it. 29 years ago today, at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland, Carlos Martinez, who hit it. I was actually living there at the time when that happened.
Not Victor Martinez.
Not Victor. Carlos.
Any other Martinez? Davey Martinez? Pedro?
Not
Ramon?
A moment in right field that Jose Canseco will ever forget, or anybody else.
That was pretty awesome.
But that was, you got to love the reaction right there, because that's a raw, like, because you're not expecting to see that. Like, oh my gosh, that hit his head. That went over his, That's a home run off his head. Yeah. Obviously something you don't see much in MLB. But, yeah, not a great moment in Rangers history.
No. But very Jose Canseco, for sure.
Yep. So that was 29 years ago. We had yesterday's 29 years ago. So we had some pretty big sports moments, right?
Yesterday was this time in 1993, apparently, was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Memorable.
John Starks had the dunk over Jordan, and Jose Canseco had a home run. Hit off his head and over the wall.
All right.
Pretty cool. All right. So back to Adam Vingan and The Athletic. So this is a fan survey. And one that we did not get to, I believe, was the last question, correct?
Yeah, we got to all the hockey ones. And so we went through that backwards and forwards earlier in the show. But the one that we didn't get to was the in-game experience question, which I think is a good one. Which aspect would you eliminate? Now, to me, this sparks a bigger discussion in my mind, but Fang Fingers, the power play song is choice number two, DMX's Party Up. Number three, the glorious domination, the what they play when the team comes back on the ice for the third period that came to light during the great run of 2017. It's the wrestling theme that has become sort of synonymous with the team there. And then other. So here, first, you give your answer, Darren, then I'll give mine.
Oh, mine's easy.
Really? Okay.
Yes, really easy. It's A.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're done with the Fang Fingers.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, for sure. I don't know what people are going to say.
Okay,
I think
Joe Rexroad this morning made a hard play to eliminate Glorious Domination. He doesn't get that one.
Well, what is there not to get? I don't.
Well, he didn't understand the wrestling part of it. He didn't know who sang the song. He's not a fan. Not a fan of it. So, you know, this is all eye of the beholder. To me, all three have been around long enough now that they're pretty entrenched. To me, that's not the question. So I would go other, and I just think it's time for some fresh ideas. I think the biggest issue with the in-game experience has become...
So you're saying all the above. D, all the above.
No, not all of the above. I would keep the three. I would keep all three. I like the ones that have been around and survived this long. I'm okay with keeping those three. I just would like to add fresh other things. And I think that has been coming. That's sort of came to a standstill. You know, COVID had something to do with it. You know, for a while, you couldn't have fans in there. But I think it's time because the greatest strength of the game experience in Smashville is the fun movie clips, music that matches the situation in the game. It takes a clever person or group of people. And that is where they excelled from the get-go. And I think it's sort of plateaued.
Oh, it's become a bit stale. There's no doubt about it.
I am curious if Adam's assessment or Adam's questionnaire brings that out from the people that answer.
Do you think others going to win?
See, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to win, but I would hope that it gets the creative juices flowing to say it's time to let's how do we freshen it up?
Again, this is their doing. They have set the bar. I mean, it's been known for the in-game experience, which is what helped build, the crowds. It's what helped build sellouts. It's what helped build people would leave and tell everybody how much fun they had. It's the in-game, something that we've talked about with the Titans for a long time. Like, you're talking about a fresh up. Holy moly. I mean, for years it was like, are you kidding me? Are you ever going to change anything about your in-game experience? Or are you literally just going to do the same thing every single game, every single season? And that went on for a long time. It's gotten better. It's still not great, but it's gotten a lot better, at Nissan Stadium. But, you know, the Predators have been known for their in-game experience, right?
Yes.
So, if you feel
the
that way, if you feel that strongly,
best.
I don't know how you could be okay.
It's been the best.
Some of this stuff is...
It was the best for over a decade.
Sure.
I just think that there's a high standard, but I think it just hasn't been a point of emphasis. It's time to really lock in.
It's time
on
for
that.
A refresh.
Yes. And you know what I think? Other thing, what else has happened, especially in hockey, just being a person that travels around the league and sees it, I've seen virtually all of the other markets, not everyone, but almost all of the other markets have taken a page out of Nashville's book. I think when Nashville first started doing it, it was kind of viewed as gimmicky and like,
sure.
we don't do that here.
Non-traditional.
We don't
market.
Do that here.
You got to do that in Nashville.
We just have the organist, man. Yeah. We play hockey. Right. We let the fans naturally enjoy the game. It's not like that anymore. Everybody tries to do it, and a lot of teams are doing it really, really well. Really well. And I just think it's time. It's a lot. I take a lot of pride. I love the fact that Nashville has been the best. And so I want to remain the best.
Okay, we're getting reaction on our text line, so we'll read some of those and comment on the way out the door on the other side. We'll come back, close up shop here on this Thursday. ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3. Not yet, but almost. Don't forget Sunday, doubleheader racing starting at 10 o'clock. The Indy 500 gets all the action started, followed by NASCAR's Coca-Cola 600. At Charlotte Motor Speedway. Also, Chasing Checkers, Chase McAbee starts things at 8 a.m. on Sunday. He'll get some driver interviews to get you ready for the race day. Memorial Day weekend racing doubleheader right here on ESPN 102.5. The Game is presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Nashville Fairground Speedway, and European Collision Repair. Back here on the DDC, talking about a fan survey Adam Vinken conducted on The Athletic. The results are not in. It's just out for you to weigh in. And the last question is, which aspect of the Predators' in-game experience would you eliminate? Fang Fingers, DMX's Party Up, Up in Here, you know, as the power play song, Glorious Domination, or Other. On our text line, David in Murfreesboro says, Fang Fingers for him. Eliminate Fang Fingers were his words. Nate on our text line says, bring the oblivious cam back. They took it away after a few showings. I'm not sure about that. Was the oblivious cam, I think I've seen that before.
You probably wouldn't see it as much. The oblivious cam is, I think, before the game.
Okay.
It's good.
They just focus on somebody sitting in the stands. They're unaware.
They're on their phone.
Okay. Sounds like you might have been on it if you're not sure what it is. You could have been a participant
without
even knowing.
It's possible.
Well, it would be if I'm sitting in there before the game, then probably something's not going well here on the radio. So
they want to get rid of the oblivious cam?
No, he said bring it back.
Bring it back. Oh, it's good. Yeah, I think it's well done. I think between periods, they mix in the oblivious cam. That's a keeper for sure.
I didn't know it had gone away. I know they do it. I just didn't.
No, they do it. They keep doing it.
Okay. That's why he said bring it back. I was like, I didn't know they got rid of it. Kevin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. When I texted a few weeks ago and said they needed new songs, new intros, new everything, y'all act like I was crazy. This is exactly what I was talking about. Not only has the team fallen off, for many of us, in disagreements on how that's being handled, the experience has become stale, as well as just needing to refresh, keep it fun. That's all I was saying. I don't know.
I don't know if that if I'm in agreement with that. I'm not.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know if he. I don't remember him calling
about new songs and. We said crazy. I don't remember.
I like keeping the traditional.
Show?
I like, to me, the Fang Fingers, even the Power Play song, which is not as much of a tradition, it's kind of stuck. So I'm okay staying with that. If you if you want to. They actually took it away, and the power play got really bad, and they brought it back. They tried some different things there, but I'm all right with it, and I'm okay with glorious. To me, that's not the issue. The issue is constantly, there should always constantly be some new stuff thrown into the mix, and there's that great art. Because you can have all of the greatest movie clips of all time and the best music, but if you don't have the person who is the conductor, who orchestrates and sees a play happen, like I remember we had Ray Ferraro on during the Stanley Cup final. And I think at one point late in the game, Nashville was winning the game, and they had, I think it was Crosby, Malkin, Letang. It was three of the top players. Maybe it was Phil Kessel. There were three great players all in the penalty box at the same time for Pittsburgh. And they had a shot of the penalty box, and they played the clip from The Hangover, the three best friends that anybody ever had. And he just loved the timing of that. So it takes the person that can put the clip with the situation. And not everybody can do that. That's a skill that is hard to find. And so it's worth going out and finding the person who could do it. Nashville's had a few people that can do that, and that's a valuable person.
Milo also says eliminate Fang Fingers.
Okay.
Unnamed text, oh no, Pat, sorry, said the goalie you suck taunt after every goal is cringeworthy, should be situational, end of game, playoffs, etc.
I don't think that one's going anywhere.
I don't think that one's going away. In fact, I caught that chant at the Nashville SC game.
Oh,
that,
wow.
What's going on?
Yeah, there's a crossover there.
A little crossover. Just saying. Yeah, I don't think that one's going anywhere, but Fang Fingers could go away.
We can come back to this discussion. Some ideas. I'd love to have some ideas in the hopper.
Yeah.
We'll take them to the proper authorities.
All right, that will do it for the rest of our, well, it'll do it for this show. Enjoy the rest of your day. How about that? We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to close out the week. We shall see you then.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.